Support comes from WFAE members and Mazda of South Charlotte, incorporating Mazda's customer-centric vehicle design by making the customer the center of business to create a better car buying experience. More at MazdaofSouthCharlotte.com. This is Charlotte Talks. I'm Mike Collins. Later in the program, we find out about all the things to take advantage of, all of the events you can enjoy around town over the holidays, because, after all, company's coming. But wait, company is already here.
Phone rings, door chimes, in comes company. No strings, good times, just chumps company.
The company in town this week is the Stephen Sondheim musical that, in 1970, was nominated for a record-setting 14 Tony Awards. It won 6, taking a close look at marriage and relationships through a series of vignettes featuring various couples, all friends of the perpetually single Bobby, a man struggling to connect as he and his friend celebrate his 35th birthday, and they try to open his eyes to possibilities.
Blow out the candles, Robert, and make a wish. Want something. Want something.
Somebody hold me too close. Somebody hurt me too deep.
But 1970 was a long time ago. A lot has changed, and one of the people only too aware of that was Stephen Sondheim himself. So when director Marianne Elliott proposed a new take on this classic for London's West End, Sondheim jumped at it, turning Bobby, B-O-B-B-Y, into B-O-B-B-I-E, a woman.
Somebody know me too well. Somebody pull me up short and put me through hell and give me support for being alive. Make me alive. Make me alive. Make me alive.
And the changes didn't stop there. They transformed this musical, one that's so connected with the 70s, into one that comes alive in the 21st century, connecting with the lives we live today.
Company! 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 Lots of company! Life is company! Love is company! Company!
Well, as luck would have it, the national tour of this new company, which also won 5 Tony Awards, including Best Revival of a Musical, opened last night for a week-long run at Blumenthal Performing Arts Belk Theater. And we are pleased to have several members of the cast with us right now. When Judy McLean played Donna and Tanya on Broadway, she became the longest-running lead in Mamma Mia history, and now she's taken on the iconic role of Joanne, the acerbic, wry, semi-inebriated wit of the show, Joanne in Company. Thank you for being here. Welcome.
Hi, great to be here.
Jacob Dickey played Andy in Company on Broadway and is now, as he says, taking the Blue Briefs on their first national tour. We'll let him explain the Blue Briefs a little bit later on. Thank you for being here as well. Good morning.
Thank you so much. Good morning.
And Catherine Allison also appeared on Broadway in Company and plays the role of Sarah, which is a fun role to play because she's on a diet, and you know what happens to people on diets. Catherine, thank you for joining us. Welcome.
Thank you so much for having me.
You know, it's hard to believe, but Company the Musical is now older than Bobby, who is celebrating her 35th birthday in the show. The show in 1970 was very much cutting edge. It was the first show of its kind without a through line. It's a series of vignettes that just sets different scenes up and studies things in a way. How does this adaptation, Catherine, by director Marianne Elliott address all of that?
I think she did a wonderful job of, as you said in the beginning, twisting this, bringing it into the 21st century, placing a woman as the center of the storyline, dealing with, you know, the plight around being 35. Is it the time to have a child? Is it going to be too late for me? Do I need to, get married, follow in the line of the footsteps of all of her friends, and updating it, I think, as Marianne would say, a man having three girlfriends today would not be so, people would be like, ah, oh, like, what does he worry about? Whereas a woman having three boyfriends, figuring out her dating life, people might be like, oh, like, what are you doing? Like, shouldn't you be settling down? So I think she did a wonderful job creating this life. Yeah.
Well, there is this very subtle element of the biological clock in this version.
Yes.
That is not
mm-hmm.
in the other version for obvious reasons. Mm-hmm. And this revision, Andy, of Company, I believe, was the last show that Stephen Sondheim was personally involved in terms of bringing it back, mm-hmm. because he died 2 years ago this coming Sunday. Mm-hmm. Aside from approving the various switches in genders and changing the lyrics to fit this new version, of which you are very much a part, because you play an airline steward in the original show, it was a stewardess. How involved was he in helping create this version? Do you know?
I think he was incredibly involved. I mean, I joined the company post-pandemic. So in 2021, it opened right before 2020, or right at the end of Broadway being open in 2020. But he was there, you know, he came in actually a week before he passed to see our first preview, which was obviously a magical moment for everybody involved. I have my distinct memory of that night is he kind of held court at the back of the theater for all of us after the show, and the whole cast just gathered around and listened to him just tell stories. And, you know, he was obviously involved creatively with the lyrics, as you said, and all of the above prior to that. But I think the point when the show officially opened, he was really just joyfully witnessing this work that he was so deeply proud of.
Judy, I think you're the perfect person to be here to talk a little bit about Stephen Sondheim and put him into some sort of perspective for people, because Stephen Sondheim kind of created a whole genre of musical and set the stage for a lot of young composers, but now they're having difficulty getting work done on the stage because jukebox musicals have taken over, and the guy who gets the credit for a lot of people who are not necessarily theater people, but they go see shows, the person that comes to mind in their mind is Andrew Lloyd Webber. You have done a number of Andrew Lloyd Webber shows, and you've also done a lot of Stephen Sondheim shows. So for those people who don't know Sondheim as well as Webber, put him into perspective for us. Why is he important? Why do theater people just think he is God?
You know, not only is he a brilliant musician and he writes musically, but lyrically, you know, he also, the way he combines and his internal rhymes and what he does was never like anyone before. And I think the way that Stephen Sondheim looks at human behavior and in a very real way, I think there's no other composer that really does that in art, that our time. I feel almost like I was alive at the time of Shakespeare. I got to work with him on Into the Woods as well. Mm-hmm. And I got to sing for Stephen Sondheim about 2 weeks before he died at an orchestra, the tribute for Jonathan Tunick, something from Into the Woods. It was really pretty amazing. But he he's really like Shakespeare, the Shakespeare of this period. And the way his rhymes, the way he puts together lyrics and how they go with the music. Nothing is ever done by, you know, happenstance. Yeah. One of the things he says is God is in the details. Right. And that's what he does.
And he was a stickler for details. I'm just curious for what it was like to sing in front of him, because he would literally tell you, I mean, he would say, you need to hold that note a half a beat longer, or don't curve that. That's it. You hit that dead on. This is the lyric. Say it on this beat. He was very particular about things.
Well, interesting. When I the very first time I sang for him, he cast me into the Woods, the national tour many, many years ago. He was one of the people, but I was cast as one of the stepsisters and went on at the Kennedy Center for the first time as an understudy. And surprisingly, he was in the audience that day coming to see me. And it was my first time on. And so we all, you know, came on stage afterwards, and he came in, he was going to give us a note session. And I kept waiting, thinking, oh, here comes my note, here comes my note, you know, when, what's it going to be? And I sing a song called Moments in the Woods, right? The baker's wife sings that song. And he said, the word is moment, not moment. The word is moment. I'll go exaggerate it, moment, mm-hmm. not moment. I was saying moment, as you would sing it how you say it, right? And I thought to myself, oh my gosh, I say that word 100 times in the song, and he was probably just cringing every time I sang it. But I ended up being able, because of him, I was able to take over the baker's wife at that time, which was really cool. Yeah. So in the same vein, when I sang for him 2 weeks before he died, I was at this concert that was Jonathan Tunick, and he showed up, and I was singing The Last Midnight from Into the Woods. So it was a very full circle moment for me with him. And he can be very picky and detailed, but he can also be very, very effusive in his comments and compliments, really.
Mamma Mia is probably one of the most popular shows in the history of Broadway musicals. I mean, it's still running in London. It's been running for, what, 20 years or something like that? I don't know. Mm-hmm. And you've played it 4,000 times. That there's a whole conversation in that.
Yeah, we don't want to get into that.
but you played Donna in Mamma Mia, and although we don't have a recording of you in that show, we do have a recording of you and a performance of The Winner Takes It All from an appearance you made on Fox 5 in New York.
I played all my cards, and that's what you've done too. Nothing more to say. No more ace to play. The winner takes it all. The loser standing small beside the victory. That's her destiny.
These are like all these television morning
shows.
Morning,
I'll tell you. That was four in the morning.
That's right. I get you up at 4 a.m. and make you sing. So congratulations, you did it.
Thank you.
In Company, you sing one of the iconic songs that come from the show, from the Sondheim canon, first sung by Elaine Stritch, which you alluded to in a Q&A last night.
Yes.
And more recently, by Patti LuPone.
Here's to the ladies who lunch. Everybody laugh. Lounging in their caftans and planning a brunch. On their own behalf. Off to the gym, then to a fitting, claiming they're fat. And looking grim, 'cause they've been sitting, choosing a hat. Does anyone still wear a hat?
That's Patti LuPone. You, however, knocked that song out of the park last night. Congratulations.
Thank you.
How do you approach putting your, I have 45 seconds. How do you approach putting your stamp on that song, which is so iconic?
You know, it's from the lyric. I always, as an actress, I come from the lyric first, and what that's given me and what they're talking about with Joanne. You know, Joanne I describe as fun and dangerous. And what is my interpretation of that? Is very different. I'm not Elaine and I'm not Patty. So I had to come from, how do I relate to the character first? And you know, I'm an alcoholic, so kidding. Just kidding. kidding. No, but you know, you always come from yourself first is where you come from, how you're like, and then you find out how you're different from the character.
Judy McLean is Joanne. We're going to hear from Jacob and Catherine as well in just a moment. It's Charlotte Talks on WFAE. Support comes from WFAE members and Mazda of South Charlotte, focused on applying Mazda's customer-centric approach for vehicle design to car buying and servicing in order to create an experience centered around the customer. More at MazdaofSouthCharlotte.com.
Pardon me, is everybody there? Because if everybody's there, I want to thank you all for coming to the wedding. I'd appreciate you going even more. I mean, you must have lots of better things to do. And not a word of it to Paul. Remember, Paul, you know the man I'm going to marry. But I'm not, because I wouldn't ruin anyone as wonderful as he is. But I thank you all for the gifts and the flowers. Thank you all. Now it's back to the showers. Don't tell Paul, but I'm not getting married today.
go? Can't you go? Why is nobody listening? Goodbye. Go and cry at some other person's wake. If you're quick for a kick, you could pick up a christening. But please, on my knees, there's a human life at stake. Listen, everybody, I'm afraid you didn't hear. Or do you want to see a crazy person fall apart in front of you? It isn't only Paul who may be ruining his life. You know, we'll both of us be losing our identities. I telephoned my shrink and he said maybe I should come and see him Monday. But by Monday, I'll be floating in the Hudson with the other garbage. I'm not well, so I'm not getting married. You've been swell, but I'm not getting married. Clear the hall, because I'm not getting married. Thank you all, but I'm not getting married. I never tell Paul, but I'm not getting married today.
Whew. I'm exhausted just listening. That's Jonathan Bailey, who you probably know from Bridgerton or Fellow Travelers. He was in the London cast of a company, the first version of this gender-switched production. And who's the fellow who sang it last night in your
case? Matt Roden.
Oh, my God. Just incredible. Incredible. And that scene is incredible. It's one of the most brilliantly done scenes I think I've ever seen. We're sitting here talking to Judy McLean, who plays Joanne, Jacob Dickey, who plays Andy, and Catherine Allison, who plays Sarah, in Company, that opened last night in place for a week at the Belk Theater at the Blumenthalarts.org for tickets, by the way. Catherine, the construction of the show is not like most other musicals. It is, as we said, a series of vignettes spotlighting Bobby, who's the lead character, who's kind of a voyeur. An observer of her friends and relationships with people. Everybody's married for the most part. She is not. And in 1970, as you said, for the male Bobby not to be married, it seemed quite unusual. Does switching roles or switching genders make it seem less unusual? Or the fact that in 2023, people don't get married at 19 or 20 anymore?
Yeah, I think... If anything, I think it makes it more updated. I think I was watching a video earlier this week about a New York Times op-ed talking about why women are not necessarily getting married. Why are they choosing maybe a different path in later in life? And so I think it's telling the masses, it's bringing in a lot of the issues that women have today.
In the original, Bobby the Man is kind of an enigma. You can't figure him out because he can't figure himself out, nor can his friends figure him out. And at some point, some people speculated that he might be gay. And in the original, there is this scene on a balcony where one of the guys does kind of come on with him. And I think they took that out later on, and it's not in your version. Do you think, Jacob, that making Bobby a woman makes the character less of an enigma? Or is it just a different take on the same story?
I think that's what's so beautiful about it is exactly that. It's a different take on the same story, but it is updating it for a modern time. I think what is so refreshing about seeing a female Bobby is that you do see a complex individual. Like, she's not all good, she's not all bad, she's charming, she's witty, but she's also still an enigma, and she's allowed to be, and we're allowed to not know everything about her, which, you know, I think in our society, often women are asked to be so many things all at once, and Bobby is constantly, our Bobby is kind of constantly fighting that and making her own path. And so I think it's a really beautiful way of seeing another version of that.
And the other thing that I noticed in all the versions that I've seen of Company with a male Bobby, he's kind of stiff.
Yes.
She's loose. She was kind of loosey-goosey in her approach to this, which I think brings a whole different dynamic to the character and to the show. You know, Broadway musicals go through lots of changes. People may not know this before they open. Sometimes afterwards, some of the songs come and go as the show develops over time. And one of those songs was Marry Me a Little. It was in the show originally. It was taken out because Sondheim said he couldn't figure out how to make it work. And then they put it back in a revival, and it's in your version. It's a moment where Bobby, I think, begins to come to terms with the fact that she, in this case, would like to be married. And although we don't have a clip of that song in your with your cast, Catherine, you have sung this song in the past, and we have a clip of you singing it at this performance, which celebrates Broadway understudies and alternates.
me a little, love me just enough, cry but not too often, play but not too rough, keep a tender distance so we'll both be free. That's the way it ought to be. I'm ready, marry me a little, do it with a will, make a few demands I'm able to fulfill. Want me more than others, not exclusively, that's the way it ought to be.
That's a plea to the director to make you Bobby in the next incarnation. Oh, yeah. I'm ready. Let's do it.
That's
amazing. Talk about at this performance, which is where that was from. This is a recording that somebody took on their iPhone, I think.
Yeah.
And we have it.
At this performance is such a wonderful cabaret that happens in New York, celebrating understudies and standbys from all the different shows. And pretty much, I think they do it once a month, and different understudies come and present music from the show, either from a character that they sing or just a song from the show that they like. On Broadway, I understudied Sarah, Susan, and Jenny, and none of them have kind of like a pinnacle song. And so I was like, let me just choose my favorite from the show, which is Marry Me a Little.
Yeah. And it's hard to believe that song was cut from the original, because it really does set the person up. It ends the first act, and it sets Bobby up for what's to come in the second act, and sets the stage for Being Alive, which is the big song where she's definitely ready for a relationship. You, Andy, play another of the characters in this version of the show that has been gender switched to accommodate Bobby being a woman. In the original, your character, Andy, is a flight attendant named April, who was a little ditzy and not quite there all the time. And I was wondering how they were going to do that with a guy. And you're not exactly dumb beefcake, but you're close.
Yeah. Yes, thank you so much.
And you were very brave, because you're out there in the blue briefs for a long time, I gotta tell. But you have this wonderful opportunity to sing, I think one of my favorite songs from the show is Barcelona. It's so deceptively simple, but it's a three-act play in itself. Yeah. Where you, the flight attendant, are leaving to go on a flight. You're leaving her behind to go fly the plane or be in a flight attendant to take the plane to Barcelona. And you change your mind. There's this reluctance to leave. She begs you to stay. And then she catches the car. And that's a problem.
Yes.
And once again, we don't have that. We also don't have a copy of you singing the other song that he gets to sing. And that is another iconic moment in Company, and that is you could drive a person crazy, which used to be a trio of women. Now it's a trio of men.
Ba-da-da-da, ba-da-da-da, ba-da-da-da-da-da. You could drive a person crazy, you could drive a person mad. Ba-da-da, first you make a person feel all hazy, so a person could be had. Ba-da-da, then you leave a person dangling sadly outside your door, which it only makes a person gladly want you even more. I could understand a person if she said to go away, ba-da-da. I could understand a person if she happened to be gay.
You think?
Do I know?
Nah.
Exclusive you, elusive you, will any person ever get the juice out of you? You're crazy, you're a troubled person, you're a moving, deeply maladjusted, never to be trusted, crazy person, yourself. Bobby is my hobby and I'm giving it up.
Once again from the London cast recording of the new version of Company. This used to be kind of a Betty Boop number with three women, and they've kind of made it a very hip, modern, barbershop-y thing. The vocal blends are really interesting, and the harmonies are really interesting in that. Fun to do?
You know, it is fun to do. It's deceptively difficult to do.
Yes.
It is a very fast, very movement-based, tight number. You know, we feel amazing afterwards, but really getting into it, it's always kind of like, all right, take a deep breath. It's 2 minutes of madness and you'll be fine.
Yeah, the movement never stops. People should understand that.
But it is fun. It is incredibly fun.
And once again, we don't have you singing in this show. This is the problem with these touring companies. But we do have you. You were Aladdin on Broadway for
quite a while.
And although we don't have you singing it on Broadway, we do have you singing a snippet of Proud of Your Boy in a performance you gave at Broadway at Bryant Park. I just want you to know that I had to work for about 30 minutes yesterday on getting the woman who goes "woo" at the end of it out of it, so that we could hear your long note at the end. Let's talk about that for a second, because that is one of the great Disney songs that have come out of Disney musicals over the years. It must be a blast to sing it, because the music that they write for these Disney shows is remarkable. But talk about how that kind of musical has captured the fascination in the minds of American theater goers, along with Andrew Lloyd Webber, whereas Stephen Sondheim, who's a genius, fights for attention.
Well, I think you kind of already said it. They're very different musicals, and I'm someone who I love the fact that Stephen Sondheim and Aladdin can exist on Broadway at the same time. You know, they are for different audiences. I think what is brilliant about Alan Menken is, I mean, a lot of his music, if you're really looking at how it's laid out, is inspired. I mean, I think every composer beyond Stephen Sondheim is inspired by Stephen Sondheim. And there is some lyricism in there and some beautiful music. But I mean, I think it's just, you know, Judy touched on it earlier too, like Sondheim was Shakespeare and everybody wanted to be Shakespeare. And so there's all these people who have come after him or during his time who have taken big, big notes from him. And I think Alan Menken is one of those. So, you know, he's taken it and made it for a more general audience, I think.
Yeah.
But also you attach Disney to anything and people are going to pay to see it.
Yeah. Judy, there have been several recent revivals of musicals that have gender switched the parts. 1776 comes to mind. It was an interesting experiment, I think, but it didn't necessarily make a lot of sense. They were trying to capitalize, I think, on the success of Hamilton. But mm-hmm. switching Bobby, a man, to a woman seems effortless, and it makes sense. What does it do for the perspective of the show and what we as audience members get from this examination of marriage and relationships?
I mean, theater is all about stakes, high stakes, right? We watch for something to be the action and what goes on, right? I think by making her a woman, I mean, back in the 70s, probably for a man, there was more pressure to be married in a sense, a different kind of pressure. But I think anytime you can make the stakes higher in theater and, you know, when there's more pressure physically, Bobby can't have a baby after a certain amount of time, right? Or, and maybe finding a person in this day and age is much more difficult, you know, being a career woman. So I think the stakes are extremely high with with a woman playing this part. And that for theater makes good theater. High stakes are always the best.
And for those who have seen it before with a guy as Bobby, it's a whole new experience, quite honestly. It's a new look at things, and it's worth spending your money to seeing it again, I would think. Judy McClain, who plays Joanne, Jacob Dickey, who plays Andy in the show, the airline steward, Catherine Allison, or perhaps you're a pilot, I don't know. Catherine Allison, who plays Sarah in this. It's a thoroughly enjoyable evening, and although we are having technical problems behind the scenes right now on this program, you had some last night, but they've been ironed out. It was a bad computer cable, which stopped the show twice, but I'm glad it did, because we got to meet you, Judy, personally, out front as you filled time in between the scenes.
Right.
Company plays at the Belk through Sunday. BlumenthalArts.org for tickets. Thank you all three for being here this hour.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, that's one form of company. The other is the kind that might be coming for the holidays. So what is there to do with them? What might you like to do yourself during these holidays in Charlotte? What, in fact, is there to do aside from going to see company? Well, we have you covered. More specifically, our next guests have you covered. Ryan Pitkin is co-founder and editor-in-chief of Queen City Nerve. He's here along with Madeline Holly Carruthers, editor at QCityMetro.com, and Mackenzie Rankin, lifestyle reporter for Axios Charlotte. Welcome to you all. Good morning. Nice to have you here. I'm going to very quickly begin with you, Madeline, because we're about to go into a break 60 seconds from now, but we're going to do a whole bunch of holiday events, and we should kick it off by talking about something that happens today. So if you're going to company uptown tonight, you might want to make a note of the fact that the Thanksgiving parade starts at 5:45 tonight on Tryon Street. Isn't this normally, Madeline, on Thanksgiving Day?
Yes, it is normally on Thanksgiving Day, but they started to sort of make it on Wednesday just to make sure that people have more time with their families. And so people didn't have to decide whether they were going to be cooking or attending the parade. And so, yeah, which I appreciate. When I was in high school, I was in the parade. I was in the band. And so my family, it would be a very rushed morning trying to get to everything.
Indeed, indeed. So it starts at 5:49. It's on Tryon, goes from Ninth Street to Martin Luther King Boulevard. You should know about that's going to tie some traffic up tonight uptown. When we come back, we'll talk about all of the other events that you should know about for the holidays in just 90 seconds from right now. Support comes from WFAE members and Mazda of South Charlotte, using Mazda's customer-centric approach to cars to create a car buying and servicing experience where the customer is the center of their business. More at MazdaofSouthCharlotte.com. It's Charlotte Talks on listener-funded 90.7 WFAE and WFHE. I'm Mike Collins. We're here with Ryan Pitkin, co-founder and editor-in-chief of Queen City Nerve, Madeline Holly Carruthers, editor of QCityMetro.com, and Mackenzie Rankin, lifestyle reporter for Axios Charlotte. And we're going to talk about everything you need to know about what to do this holiday season. And Ryan, it strikes me that there's a lot to do, a lot more than I thought there was to do. That when you guys sat down, all three of you, individually at your publications, and started compiling these lists, did it surprise you that there is so much to do?
I love that problem. It's a great problem to have once you start trying to throw things. We started with a gift guide, but our event page has never looked more full. I mean, it starts like you said today, and it doesn't really stop until the actual holidays. Starts today with Camp North End's Camp North Pole opening up, which is going to be a big deal this year. It's their first time ever hosting an outdoor ice skating rink.
Yeah, this Camp North Pole mistletoe market is also part of that. There's this pop-up outdoor ice skating rink. It's going to be 60, which will be open daily during the holidays. What else does it have to offer?
So they're also they've built out a place called the Lounge inside the Ford Factory building, and that's going to be with drinks served by Noda Company Canteen, which is right next door. And it will just have a lot of place for seating and whatnot if you want to sort of, you know, I would say escape the cold, but like you mentioned, we're not quite there yet. But that should all just be a great hangout. And then Mistletoe Market starts on weekends in December.
And I think for three weekends in December, it's going to go. And for people who don't know, because there are a lot of newcomers, where is Camp North Pole? It's actually Camp North End. Is that correct?
Right, yes.
So where is that for people who don't know?
Campus located between Graham Street and Statesville Road, right north of Uptown, sort of if you just keep going past the Music Factory. You can't miss the campus. It used to just sort of be, it was always as big as it is, obviously, a former Ford factory, former missile factory even. But nowadays they built it out so much that you can't really miss it. I would just drive up Graham Street and look to your left if you're going north, and it's a huge campus.
So this former missile factory is now a mistletoe factory, right, for the holidays. Mackenzie, we seem to be, obsessed with ice skating rinks in Charlotte all of a sudden in the last several years. Maybe it's the influx of people from up north coming in here, but the ice rink at Camp North Pole is on your list of highlights. But you also wanted to let folks know about ice skating at the Whitewater Center. I didn't know that Whitewater froze over. How are they doing this?
Yeah, there's going to be a bunch of stuff happening, honestly, outside of just ice skating at the Whitewater Center this year. It's their Winter Fest at Whitewater, or Winter at Whitewater. But they'll have their ice skating rink that is open for $25. Your skates are included in your rental, and that's going to run all throughout the winter. And if you're there, you might as well stick around, because they also opened a Christmas tree lot this year too. So if you want to get your Christmas tree, haven't done that yet, you can go ice skating and then take a Christmas tree home.
So I read, I think, in one of your reports that they have two ice trails and two free skate zones. I'm not sure what they are or how that works. Maybe you know.
I actually, this is the first year I'm going to go. We have all of our details in our holiday guide, which I have to give credit to my colleague, Alexis Clinton, for putting all the information in that guide together. But yeah, with all of the winter festivities going on at Whitewater, their zip line will be open to the canyon at night. There's going to be lots of stuff going on there. And you can get all of the details in our holiday guide on charlotte.axios.com.
Yeah, everybody here from charlotte.axios.com to qcitymetro.com to Queen City Nerve have their own guides, and we've done our own compilation of all of these things. We're stealing from you. Let's just lay it out on the table. We're taking all this from you, and we put it on our website, our holiday guide at wfae.org. It's right on the front page. So in case you can't write all this down as you're listening, you can go back and refer to it a little bit later on. Madeline, skating at Camp North End is available now through January the 7th. And at the Whitewater Center, as Mackenzie just mentioned, you can skate now through mid-February. Ice skating will also be part of the holiday scene at Charlotte Knights Baseball Park, Truist Field, but that will also be the site of their Light the Knights Festival, and that also begins today, correct?
Yes. So Light the Knights is going through January 1st. So you have a lot of time to go out. And Light the Knights is great because it's a whole family event. There's shopping, there's lights displays, ice skating, tubing. There's a little bit for everybody. And if you have kids, it's a great way to tire the kids out and get them in bed a little early. So as soon as the sun goes down, go immediately there and start wearing them out.
So Q City Metro has five must-try activities for the holidays. What is that all about?
So we'll be doing lots of holiday sort of guides because, like you said, there's so much to do in Charlotte. But we wanted to do something that starts this week. So everything on this list kicks off around Thanksgiving and goes through the end of the year. And our five must-try include Sippin' Santa, which is a holiday pop-up. So that's some grown folks fun. There's Light the Knights, all-inclusive, family fun, Winter Fest. There's also Mistletoe Market, and then there's Miracle at Backstage Lounge. So no matter what you're looking for, if you're looking for something for you and the spouse, or you and the partner, or you and the kids, there's something on Five Must Try for you.
And one of the big players every Christmas in the last decade or so has been Carowinds, where Winterfest is already underway. It's another one of your five must-try activities. It becomes a winter-themed destination that includes entertainment and rides and lights and cocktails. Who knew?
Yes. So Winterfest is truly a winter wonderland. So they have live shows, and the shows are really, really good. They have live shows. They have cookie decorating. You can make a list for Santa. They have ice skating, and they also have some cocktails. Their winter menu is great this year. Every year they kick it up a little bit more. So I suggest if you want to sip and have some fun with the kids, Winterfest is a great place to do it.
So Ryan, this is a holiday that is synonymous with music and with concerts. And locally, I think probably the oldest of them all would have to be the 69th annual Singing Christmas Tree, which this year is at CPCC's Halton Auditorium on December 9th and 10th. They change this show up a bit every single time they do it. But at the center of it all is that Singing Christmas Tree. What else can you tell us about that?
Oh, I've actually not seen the Singing Christmas Tree.
Well, I have. I've actually emceed it once, so I can...
I've been to the lighting at Bank of America Stadium, which they do each year. In terms of music, this year I'm going to try to check out this Elf in Concert that's coming up this weekend from Charlotte Symphony, because I think those live score performances that they do are amazing, and I've never actually seen a Christmas one, but that's what I'm looking forward to in terms of the singing side of things. I'm not familiar with the singing tree.
Well, I am. We'll talk about the tree in a second. Elf in Concert at Ovens Auditorium is the Will Ferrell movie of Elf. But the music, the soundtrack, essentially, and they do this a lot with the symphony, the soundtrack is being played live by the Charlotte Symphony Orchestra while you watch the movie.
Right.
And having been to several of those in the past, it's pretty cool because you're hearing music from the film that kind of doesn't get in the way, but it stands out more than it would if it were just on the soundtrack of the film.
Right, yeah.
And it's kind of a treat for kids who may not even know how that music is produced. They can see it being produced live as the movie goes on. So back to the Singing Christmas Tree. Shame on you for not...
Right now, I'm glad that I'm getting recommendations out of this. This is a win-win.
The Singing Christmas Tree is actually a singing tree. It goes from the floor of the stage to the top of the proscenium arch, and it's as wide as probably most of the stage, and it's all... The Christmas ornaments are people. They're human beings, and they are the choir that sing these various Christmas songs. Plus, there's other entertainment that surrounds the tree throughout the show, but the fundamental focal point is this tree. So it literally is a singing Christmas tree. So another holiday tradition is Charlotte. And Mackenzie, you're looking at me like I've grown another ear. You have to go see this to believe it. Okay, another holiday tradition here is the Charlotte Ballet's annual production of The Nutcracker, which opens at the Belk Theater on December 8th and runs through the 23rd. And Ryan, since you're focusing on concerts and music, the holiday sounds and hijinks, as you described them, of the Gay Men's Chorus on December 1st. And if you can't get enough, on that same night and again on December 2nd, it's Robin and Charlotte Present Yule, Y'all. The original drag review written by Robin O'Ladies and Charlotte Douglas. Now, those are drag names. And they say, Ryan, it's like nothing you've ever seen before. Have you seen this one before?
I have. And this is just a really great, really great drag review from two of Charlotte's best comedians. They hold it every year at Neighborhood Theater. And it's actually just going to be a great night to be in that neighborhood in general, because it's also going to coincide with the Nota Krampus Crawl on December 2nd, which is the second night of Yule, Y'all. And Krampus Crawl is sort of just a neighborhood-wide, as the name suggests, a crawl that has to do with the old mythology around Krampus, Eastern Alpine sort of myth of the monster that goes and eats kids, or maybe just scares them when they're bad, as opposed to just deliver them coal. And people dress up for that. They go around and see live music at all the different venues. They dress up. If you see the horns, that's how you know they're in the Krampus Crawl, but some people take it a little deeper. So there's a lot going on in the neighborhood, from drag review to monsters, everything in between that weekend.
I have to tell you, this is completely new to me. Madeline McKenzie, are you aware of Krampus? I'm not aware of Krampus at all.
A little bit, because little bit? Humbug, their pop-up, is also Krampus themed. So when I went last year, I learned all about the lore of Krampus, and yeah, it's wild.
Okay, so the Yule Y'all review is where, Ryan?
That's at Neighborhood Theater, both December 1st, December 2nd, and then Krampus Crawl is December 2nd throughout the neighborhood.
Okay, and the Gay Men's Chorus is singing where?
Gay Men's Chorus, that's going to be at Galilee Ministries on Central Avenue, and that's December 1st, Friday night.
And if you like your entertainment, your holiday musical entertainment, slightly more subdued, there is A Cappella Christmas at St. Stephen United Methodist Church on Sardis Road. This, I'm told, is kind of a Christmas barbershop style, and it features the Gold Standard Chorus. They are the 2022 Carolinas District Champions of Barbershop. I've never heard Christmas sung barbershop.
Right, no, I haven't either, and I think this is a great time. We've just recently done some stories on the classical music program at Queens University, and I think they might be involved in this as well, but Gold Standard Chorus, Queen Charlotte Chorus, they're going to be performing at St. Stephen, and I think that'll be, like you said, maybe for the more peaceful crowd.
Traditional.
Yes, traditional.
So, Mackenzie, we can't talk about the holidays without talking about lights and light displays. And, of course, there'll be a light display at Truist Field. There'll be a light display that you can drive through at the Charlotte Motor Speedway. They've been doing that for a while. But the granddaddy of them all is McCaddenville. Now, for people who are new to Charlotte, what's going on in McCaddenville? Where is McCaddenville, and what can we expect?
McCaddenville is a small town about 25, 30 minutes west of Charlotte. It's really close to Belmont. It's like a neighbor of Belmont. And every year they turn into Christmas Town USA. And essentially it's a one and a half mile stretch of the town that kind of goes through their main strip that just turns into this idyllic little Christmas winter wonderland. And all of the homes are just decorated all out for Christmas. All of the businesses, lights, all of the Christmas trees run throughout the town, and you can just drive through it. You can walk through it. It runs December 1st through December 26th, and it's a nightly thing starting at 5:30.
And if you want to see the opening night of it, you get in your car now.
Right.
And start driving, because the traffic backs up to someplace along the East Coast to get to the thing. At the Speedway, they have a Speedway Christmas. It's 4 miles of lights that you can drive through. And they'll also be having holiday drive-in movies every Thursday through Sunday night, except Christmas Eve, through January 7th. Do you know what any of the movies are going to be, Mackenzie?
Ooh, that is a good question. You've caught me off guard with the actual movies.
That's all right.
I want to say The Grinch for sure. I want to say The Grinch, definitely.
So we mentioned the cocktails, Madeline, at Carowinds, but Q City Metro has also all the holiday imbibers covered on this. You mentioned Sippin' Santa at the Royal Tot and the Miracle Pop-Up at Backstage Lounge. Give us the quick lowdown on that.
So these are both international pop-ups, and they're also going to be hosted in Charlotte this year. So Miracle at Backstage Lounge in Southend, and then Sippin' Santa at Royal Tot in the Plaza Midwood area. They both become kind of like a holiday cocktail experience, but they're unique in their own way. So Sippin' Santa, you will find Santa on a surfboard. So you will find Christmas in Paradise. And then Miracle at Backstage will be traditional mistletoe, lots of greenery, that sort of thing. And they each offer a great cocktail list, appetizers, and mocktails for our zero proof drinkers. So it's inclusive for everybody.
Okay. And this is the most wonderful time of the year for merchants. It is their make or break time, particularly for smaller local shops. And Ryan, Queen City Nerve, has put together a guide to supporting some of the 40,000 small businesses in this area. And you cover the whole town from Southend to Noda to Plaza Midwood to Elizabeth and beyond. How did you compile that list? 40,000 merchants.
Honestly, it's Eventbrite helps. I would say that Facebook has recently, within the years that we've been around, has somehow just completely submarined their whole events page into being the hardest thing to find stuff on. So it's really just growing up with Google, I guess you could say, for us millennials.
We have just touched on this. We just a dusting of holiday events, kind of like the snow we get in Charlotte, just a dusting of it. But the complete lists are at Queen City Nerve, where Ryan Pitkin is the co-founder and editor-in-chief, at QCMetro.com, where Madeline Holly Carruthers is the editor, and at Axios Charlotte, where Mackenzie Rankin is a lifestyle reporter, and will take our compilation and stick it all on WFAE.org so you can plan your holidays accordingly. Thank you all for your work. Thanks. Support comes from WFAE members and Mazda
support comes
of
from
South
WFAE Charlotte.
Members
incorporating
Mazda's
customer-centric
vehicle
incorporating Mazda's
by making the customer
vehicle
the center of business
by making the customer
the center of
business
experience to create a better
more at Mazda of South Charlotte
more at Mazda of South Charlotte. This is Charlotte Talks. I'm Mike Collins. Later in the program, we find out about all the things to take advantage of, all of the events you can enjoy around town over the holidays, because, after all, company's coming. But wait, company is already here.
Phone rings, door chimes, in comes company. No strings, good times, just chumps company.
The company in town this week is the Stephen Sondheim musical that, in 1970, was nominated for a record-setting 14 Tony Awards. It won 6, taking a close look at marriage and relationships through a series of vignettes featuring various couples, all friends of the perpetually single Bobby, a man struggling to connect as he and his friend celebrate his 35th birthday, and they try to open his eyes to possibilities.
Blow out the candles, Robert, and make a wish. Want something. Want something.
Somebody hold me too close. Somebody hurt me too deep.
But 1970 was a long time ago. A lot has changed, and one of the people only too aware of that was Stephen Sondheim himself. So when director Marianne Elliott proposed a new take on this classic for London's West End, Sondheim jumped at it, turning Bobby, B-O-B-B-Y, into B-O-B-B-I-E, a woman.
Somebody know me too well. Somebody pull me up short and put me through hell and give me support for being alive. Make me alive. Make me alive. Make me alive.
And the changes didn't stop there. They transformed this musical, one that's so connected with the 70s, into one that comes alive in the 21st century. Connecting with the lives we live today.
Company! 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 Lots of company! Life is company! Love is company! Company!
Well, as luck would have it, the national tour of this new company, which also won 5 Tony Awards, including Best Revival of a Musical, opened last night for a week-long run at Blumenthal Performing Arts Belk Theater. And we are pleased to have several members of the cast with us right now. When Judy McClain played Donna and Tanya on Broadway, she became the longest-running lead in Mamma Mia history, and now she's taken on the iconic role of Joanne, the acerbic, wry, semi-inebriated wit of the show, Joanne in Company. Thank you for being here. Welcome.
Hi, great to be here.
Jacob Dickey played Andy in Company on Broadway and is now, as he says, taking the blue briefs on their first national tour. We'll let him explain the blue briefs a little bit later on. Thank you for being here as well. Good morning.
Thank you so much. Good morning.
And Catherine Allison also appeared on Broadway in Company and plays the role of Sarah, which is a fun role to play because she's on a diet. And you know what happens to people on diets. Catherine, thank you for joining us. Welcome.
Thank you so much for having me.
You know, it's hard to believe, but Company the Musical is now older than Bobby, who is celebrating her 35th birthday. In the show, the show in 1970 was very much cutting edge. It was the first show of its kind without a through line. It's a series of vignettes that just sets different scenes up and studies things in a way. How does this adaptation, Catherine, by director Marianne Elliott address all of that?
I think she did a wonderful job of, as you said in the beginning, twisting this, bringing it into the 21st century, placing a woman as the center of the storyline, dealing with, you know, the plight around being 35. Is it the time to have a child? Am I is it going to be too late for me? Do I need to get married, follow in the line of the footsteps of all of her friends? And updating it, I think, as Marianne would say, a man having three girlfriends today would not be so, people would be like, oh, like, what is he worried about? Whereas a woman having three boyfriends, figuring out her dating life, people might be like, oh, like, what are you doing? Like, shouldn't you be settling down? So I think she did a wonderful job creating this life. Yeah.
Well, there is this very subtle element of the biological clock in this version.
Yes.
That is not mm-hmm. in the other version for obvious reasons. Mm-hmm. And this revision, Andy, of Company, I believe, was the last show that Stephen Sondheim was personally involved in terms of bringing it back, mm-hmm. because he died 2 years ago this coming Sunday. Mm-hmm. Aside from approving the various switches in genders and changing the lyrics to fit this new version, of which you are very much a part because you play an airline steward in the original show, it was a stewardess. How involved was he in helping create this version? Do you know?
I think he was incredibly involved. I mean, I joined the company post-pandemic. So in 2021, it opened right before 2020, or right at the end of Broadway being open in 2020. But he was there, you know, he came in actually a week before he passed to see our first preview, which was obviously a magical moment for everybody involved. I have my distinct memory of that night is he kind of held court at the back of the theater for all of us after the show, and the whole cast just gathered around and listened to him just tell stories. And, you know, he was obviously involved creatively with the lyrics, as you said, and all of the above prior to that. But I think the point when the show officially opened, he was really just joyfully witnessing this work that he was so deeply proud of.
Judy, I think you're the perfect person to be here to talk a little bit about Stephen Sondheim and put him into some sort of perspective for people, because Stephen Sondheim kind of created a whole genre of musical and set the stage for a lot of young composers, but now they're having difficulty getting work done on the stage because jukebox musicals have taken over, and the guy who gets the credit for a lot of people who are not necessarily theater people, but they go see shows, the person that comes to mind in their mind is Andrew Lloyd Webber. You have done a number of Andrew Lloyd Webber shows, and you've also done a lot of Stephen Sondheim shows. So for those people who don't know Sondheim as well as Webber, put him into perspective for us. Why is he important? Why do theater people just think he is God?
You know, not only is he a brilliant musician and he writes musically, but lyrically, you know, he also, the way he combines and his internal rhymes and what he does was never like anyone before. And I think the way that Stephen Sondheim looks at human behavior and in a very real way, I think there's no other composer that really does that in art at our time. I feel almost like I was alive at the time of Shakespeare. I got to work with him on Into the Woods as well. Mm-hmm. And I got to sing for Stephen Sondheim about 2 weeks before he died at an orchestra, the tribute for Jonathan Tunick, something from Into the Woods. It was really pretty amazing. But he, I mean, he's really like Shakespeare, the Shakespeare of this period. And the way his rhymes, the way he puts together lyrics and how they go with the music. Nothing is ever done by, you know, happenstance. Yeah. He, one of the things he says is God is in the details. Right. And that's what he does.
And he was a stickler for details. I'm just curious for what it was like to sing in front of him, because he would literally tell you. I mean, he would say, you need to hold that note a half a beat longer, or don't curve that. That's it. You hit that dead on. This is the lyric. Say it on this beat. He was very particular about things.
The very first time I sang for him, he cast me in Into the Woods, the national tour, many, many years ago. He was one of the people, but I was cast as one of the stepsisters and went on at the Kennedy Center for the first time as an understudy. And surprisingly, he was in the audience that day coming to see me. And it was my first time on. And so we all, you know, came on stage afterwards, and he came in, he was going to give us a note session. And I kept waiting, thinking, oh, here comes my note, here comes my note, you know, when, what's it going to be? And I sing a song called Moments in the Woods, right? The baker's wife sings that song. And he said, the word is moment, not moment. The word is moment. I'll go exaggerate it. Moment, mm-hmm. not moment. I was saying moment, as you would sing it how you say it, right? And I thought to myself, oh my gosh, I say that word 100 times in the song, and he was probably just cringing every time I sang it. But I ended up being able, because of him, I was able to take over the baker's wife at that time, which was really cool. Yeah. So that in the same vein, when I sang for him 2 weeks before he died, I was at this concert for that was Jonathan Tunick, and he showed up, and I was singing The Last Midnight from Into the Woods. So it was very full circle moment for me with him. And he can be very picky and detailed, but he can also be very, very effusive in his comments and compliments, really.
Mamma Mia is probably one of the most popular shows in the history of Broadway musicals. I mean, it's still running in London. It's been running for, what, 20 years or something like that? I don't know. Mm-hmm. And you've played it 4,000 times. That there's a whole conversation in that.
We don't want to get into that.
but you played Donna in Mamma Mia, and although we don't have a recording of you in that show, we do have a recording of you and a performance of The Winner Takes It All from an appearance you made on Fox 5 in New York.
I played all my cards, and that's what you've done too. Nothing more to say. No more ace to play. The winner takes it all. The loser standing small beside the victory. That's her destiny.
These are like all these television morning
shows. Morning,
shows,
I'll tell you. That was 4 in the morning.
That's right. I'll get you up at 4 in the morning and make you sing. So congratulations, you did it.
Thank you.
In Company, you sing one of the iconic songs that come from the show, from the Sondheim canon, first sung by Elaine Stritch, which you alluded to in a Q&A last night.
Yes.
And more recently, by Patti LuPone.
Here's to the ladies who lunch. Everybody laugh. Lounging in their caftans and planning a brunch. On their own behalf. Off to the gym, then to a fitting, claiming their fat. And looking grim, 'cause they've been sitting, choosing a hat. Does anyone still wear a hat?
That's Patti LuPone. You, however, knocked that song out of the park last night. Congratulations.
Thank you.
How do you approach putting your, I have 45 seconds. How do you approach putting your stamp on that song, which is so iconic?
You know, it's from the lyric. I always, as an actress, I come from the lyric first, and what that's given me and what they're talking about with Joanne. You know, Joanne I describe as fun and dangerous. And what is my interpretation of that? Is very different. I'm not Elaine and I'm not Patty. So I had to come from, how do I relate to the character first? And you know, I'm an alcoholic, so kidding. Just kidding. kidding. No, but you know, you always come from yourself first is where you come from, how you're like, and then you find out how you're different from the character.
Judy McLean is Joanne. We're going to hear from Jacob and Catherine as well in just a moment. It's Charlotte Talks on WFAE. Support comes from WFAE members and Mazda of South Charlotte, focused on applying Mazda's customer-centric approach for vehicle design to car buying and servicing in order to create an experience centered around the customer. More at MazdaofSouthCharlotte.com.
Pardon me, is everybody there? Because if everybody's there, I want to thank you all for coming to the wedding. I'd appreciate you going even more. I mean, you must have lots of better things to do. And not a word of it to Paul. Remember, Paul, you know the man I'm gonna marry. But I'm not, because I wouldn't ruin anyone as wonderful as he is. But I thank you all for the gifts and the flowers. Thank you all, now it's back to the showers. Don't tell Paul, but I'm not getting married today. Go, can't you go? Why is nobody listening? Goodbye. Go and cry at some other person's wake. If you're quick for a kick, you could pick up a christening. But please, on my knees, there's a human life at stake. Listen, everybody, I'm afraid you didn't hear. Or do you want to see a crazy person fall apart in front of you? It isn't only Paul who may be ruining his life. You know, we'll both of us be losing our identities. I telephoned my shrink and he said maybe I should come and see him Monday. But by Monday, I'll be floating in the Hudson with the other garbage. I'm not well, so I'm not getting married. You've been swell, but I'm not getting married. Clear the hall, because I'm not getting married. Thank you all, but I'm not getting married. And don't tell Paul, but I'm not getting married today.
Whew. I'm exhausted just listening. That's Jonathan Bailey, who you probably know from Bridgerton or Fellow Travelers. He was in the London cast of Company, the first version of this gender-switched production. And who's the fellow who sang it last night in your
cast? Matt Roden.
Oh, my God. Just incredible. Incredible. Yeah. And that scene is incredible. It's one of the most brilliantly done scenes I think I've ever seen. We're sitting here talking to Judy McLean, who plays Joanne, Jacob Dickey, who plays Andy, and Catherine Allison, who plays Sarah, in Company that opened last night and plays for a week at the Belk Theater at the Blumenthalarts.org for tickets, by the way. Catherine, the construction of the show is not like most other musicals. It is, as we said, a series of vignettes spotlighting Bobby, who's the lead character, who's kind of a voyeur. An observer of her friends and relationships with people. Everybody's married for the most part. She is not. And in 1970, as you said, for the male Bobby not to be married, it seemed quite unusual. Does switching roles or switching genders make it seem less unusual? Or the fact that in 2023, people don't get married at 19 or 20 anymore?
Yeah, I think... If anything, I think it makes it more updated. I think I was watching a video earlier this week about a New York Times op-ed talking about why women are not necessarily getting married. Why are they choosing maybe a different path in later in life? And so I think it's telling the masses, it's bringing in a lot of the issues that women have today.
In the original, Bobby the man is kind of an enigma. You can't figure him out because he can't figure himself out, nor can his friends figure him out. And at some point, some people speculated that he might be gay. And in the original, there is this scene on a balcony where one of the guys does kind of come on with him. And I think they took that out later on, and it's not in your version. Do you think, Jacob, that making Bobby a woman makes the character less of an enigma? Or is it just a different take on the same story?
I think that's what's so beautiful about it, is exactly that. It's a different take on the same story, but it is updating it for a modern time. I think what is so refreshing about seeing a female Bobby is that you do see a complex individual. Like, she's not all good, she's not all bad, she's charming, she's witty, but she's also still an enigma, and she's allowed to be, and we're allowed to not know everything about her, which, you know, I think in our society, often women are asked to be so many things all at once, and Bobby is constantly, our Bobby is kind of constantly fighting that and making her own path. And so I think it's a really beautiful way of seeing another version of that.
And the other thing that I noticed in all the versions that I've seen of Company with a male Bobby, he's kind of stiff.
Yes.
She's loose. She was kind of loosey-goosey in her approach to this, which I think brings a whole different dynamic to the character and to the show. You know, Broadway musicals go through lots of changes. People may not know this before they open. Sometimes afterwards, some of the songs come and go as the show develops over time. And one of those songs was Marry Me a Little. It was in the show originally. It was taken out because Sondheim said he couldn't figure out how to make it work. And then they put it back in a revival, and it's in your version. It's a moment where Bobby, I think, begins to come to terms with the fact that she, in this case, would like to be married. And although we don't have a clip of that song in your with your cast, Catherine, you have sung this song in the past, and we have a clip of you singing it at this performance, which celebrates Broadway celebrates Broadway understudies and alternates.
Marry me a little, love me just enough, cry but not too often, play but not too rough, keep a tender distance so we'll both be free. That's the way it ought to be. I'm ready, marry me a little, do it with a will, make a few demands I'm able to fulfill. Want me more than others, not exclusively. That's the way it ought to be.
That's a plea to the director to make you Bobby in the next incarnation. Oh, yeah. I'm ready. Let's do it.
That's so sweet.
That's amazing. Talk about at this performance, which is where that was from. This is a recording that somebody took on their iPhone, I think.
Yeah.
And we have it.
At this performance is such a wonderful cabaret that happens in New York, celebrating understudies and standbys from all the different shows. And pretty much, I think they do it once a month, and different understudies come and present music from the show, either from a character that they sing or just a song from the show that they like. On Broadway, I understudied Sarah, Susan, and Jenny, and none of them have kind of like a pinnacle song. And so I was like, let me just choose my favorite from the show, which is Marry Me a Little.
Yeah. And it's hard to believe that that song was cut from the original, because it really does set the person up. It ends the first act, and it sets Bobby up for what's to come in the second act, and sets the stage for Being Alive, which is the big song where she's definitely ready for this for a relationship. You, Andy, play another of the characters in this version of the show that has been gender switched to accommodate Bobby being a woman. In the original, your character Andy is a flight attendant named April, who was a little ditzy and not quite there all the time, and I was wondering how they were going to do that with a guy. And you're not exactly dumb beefcake, but you're close.
Yeah. Yes. Thank you so much. I take
and you're very brave, because you're out there in the blue briefs for a long time. I gotta tell. But you have this wonderful opportunity to sing. I think one of my favorite songs from the show is Barcelona. It's so deceptively simple, but it's a three act play in itself. Yeah. Where you, the flight attendant, are leaving to go on a flight. You're leaving her behind to go fly the plane or be in a flight attendant to take the plane to Barcelona, and you change your mind. There's this reluctance to leave. She begs you to stay, and then she catches the car, and that's a problem.
Yes.
And once again, we don't have that. We also don't have a copy of you singing the other song that he gets to sing, and that is another iconic moment in Company, and that is you Could Drive a Person Crazy, which used to be a trio of women. Now it's a trio of men.
Ba-da-da-da, ba-da-da-da, ba-da-da-da-da-da. You could drive a person crazy, you could drive a person mad. Ba-da-da, first you make a person feel all hazy, so a person could be had. Ba-da-da, then you leave a person dangling sadly outside your door, which it only makes a person gladly want you even more. I could understand a person if she said to go away,
ba-da-da. I could understand a person if she happened to be gay.
You think? Do I know? Nah.
Exclusive you, elusive you. Will any person ever get the juice of you? You're crazy, you're a troubled person. You're a moving, deeply maladjusted, never to be trusted, crazy person. Yourself. Bobby is my hobby and I'm giving it up.
Once again from the London cast recording of the new version of Company. This used to be kind of a Betty Boop number with three women, and they've kind of made it a very hip, modern, barbershop-y thing. The vocal blends are really interesting, and the harmonies are really interesting in that. Fun to do?
You know, it is fun to do. It's deceptively difficult to do.
Yes.
It is a very fast, very movement-based tight number. You know, we feel amazing afterwards, but really getting into it, it's always kind of like, all right, take a deep breath. It's 2 minutes of madness and you'll be fine.
Yeah, the movement never stops. People should,
it never stops.
That.
But it is fun. It is incredibly fun.
And once again, we don't have you singing in this show. This is the problem with these touring companies. But we do have you. You were Aladdin on Broadway for
quite a while.
And although we don't have you singing it on Broadway, we do have you singing a snippet of Proud of Your Boy in a performance you gave at Broadway at Bryant Park. I just want you to know that I had to work for about 30 minutes yesterday on getting the woman who goes, "Woo!" at the end of it, out of it, so that we could hear your long note at the end. Let's talk about that for a second, because that is one of the great Disney songs that have come out of Disney musicals over the years. It must be a blast to sing it, because the music that they write for these Disney shows is remarkable. But talk about how that kind of musical has captured the fascination in the minds of American theater goers, along with Andrew Lloyd Webber, whereas Stephen Sondheim, who's a genius, fights for attention.
Well, I think you kind of already said it. They're very different musicals, and I'm someone who, I love the fact that Stephen Sondheim and Aladdin can exist on Broadway at the same time. You know, they are for different audiences. I think what is brilliant about Alan Menken is, I mean, a lot of his music, if you're really looking at how it's laid out, is inspired. I mean, I think every composer beyond Stephen Sondheim is inspired by Stephen Sondheim. And there is some lyricism in there and some beautiful music. But I mean, I think it's just, you know, Judy touched on it earlier too, like Sondheim was Shakespeare and everybody wanted to be Shakespeare. And so there's all these people who have come after him or during his time who have taken big notes from him, and I think Alan Menken is one of those. So you know, he's taken it and made it for a more general audience, I think.
Yeah.
But also, you attach Disney to anything and people are going to pay to see it.
Yeah. Judy, there have been several recent revivals of musicals that have gender switched the part. 1776 comes to mind. It was an interesting experiment, I think, but it didn't necessarily make a lot of sense. They were trying to capitalize, I think, on the success of Hamilton. But mm-hmm. switching Bobby, a man, to a woman seems effortless, and it makes sense. What does it do for the perspective of the show and what we as audience members get from this examination of marriage and relationships?
I mean, theater's all about stakes, high stakes, right? We watch for something to be the action and what goes on, right? I think by making her a woman, I mean, back in the 70s, probably for a man, there was more pressure to be married, in a sense, a different kind of pressure. But I think anytime you can make the stakes higher in theater and, you know, when there's more pressure physically, Bobby can't have a baby after a certain amount of time, right? Or and maybe finding a person in this day and age is much more difficult, you know, being a career woman. So I think the stakes are extremely high with a woman playing this part. And that for theater makes good theater. High stakes are always the best.
And for those who have seen it before with a guy as Bobby, it's a whole new experience, quite honestly. It's a new look at things, and it's worth spending your money to seeing it again, I would think. Judy McClain, who plays Joanne, Jacob Dickey, who plays Andy in the show, the airline steward, Catherine Allison, or perhaps you're a pilot, I don't know. Catherine Allison, who plays Sarah in this. It's a thoroughly enjoyable evening, and although we are having technical problems behind the scenes right now on this program, you had some last night, but they've been ironed out. It was a bad computer cable, which stopped the show twice, but I'm glad it did, because we got to meet you, Judy, personally, out front as you filled time in between the scenes.
Right.
Company plays at the Belk through Sunday, blumenthalarts.org for tickets. Thank you all three for being here this hour.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Support comes from WFAE members and Mazda of South Charlotte, using Mazda's customer-centric approach to cars to create a car buying and servicing experience where the customer is the center of their business. More at MazdaofSouthCharlotte.com.